Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Last week on Open House, we began what I reckon is going to be a fascinating journey, a series of chats with Mark Scandrett, author of Practicing the Way of Jesus. It may well change your life, because Mark is calling us to get together with our friends and conduct real-life experiments to help us put our faith into action and start living a whole lot more like Jesus. Mark joins us again now to talk about experiments in purpose. Mark, welcome again to Open House.
Hey, great to be with you again, Lee.
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed last week's chat. Before we talk about this week's experiments, Mark, let's learn a little bit about your background first. I think it's no coincidence that you do what you do, inspiring others to live out their faith, because you grew up with parents who took a pretty similar approach to life.
Yeah, one of the things that really inspired me was, actually, I'd have to say, one of the greatest reasons why I'm still a Christian as an adult is that I saw, despite my frustrations with church as usual, is that I grew up in a family where my parents really tried to walk out their faith in Jesus in the practical details of life. And so they didn't just talk about what it means to be a kind person or how to love our neighbors. Sometimes my dad would bring home someone that he found drunk in a ditch, and he would become a part of our family for a while. Or we would read the Gospels together, and my dad would say, "What do you think it means? Would mean for us to love our neighbor? Who are our neighbors, and how could we love them practically?" And then we'd come up with a brainstorm together, a list of things to do over the next few weeks that would be practical steps to loving our neighbor. So I think my family really helped me grasp the tangibleness of God's kingdom.
Was that ever an uncomfortable or difficult or challenging thing to happen in a family?
It felt quite natural to me. And I think it's something that I admire, because I think it saved me from a lot of the kind of resentment that I see in others that I know, where they were told one thing or and then they didn't see it lived out. Yeah. And I'm glad that I got to see it lived out with some consistency.
Yes. It's so good to encourage people to put their faith into action, but there can also be a potential conflict of ideas at work, because Jesus called us to a life of, in some ways, freedom from rules, rest for the weary. How do we avoid the trap of making our lifestyle changes into more rules or discipline just to try perhaps to earn our way to God,
yeah,
earn our salvation?
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to clarify for many of us. I would suggest that that grace is what propels us into an active response. And this really gets at the heart of what the gospel of Jesus is. It's more than just knowing where you're going to go when you die. If you look in, perhaps, say, Mark 1:15, the picture of the gospel you get there is, this is the time of God's activity in the world. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent or rethink your thinking about life. Dream it all up again and believe the good news. Step into it. So when the first listeners heard Jesus proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, they automatically asked, what should we do? How can we live in response to this reality? How does this change our lives? And so what I think is important to clarify is the practices, the steps that we take are in response to the kind of life that's possible because of the gospel.
Nice.
That we're responding to a vision of the kind of life that we were created for. So it's a life where we learn to live without fear, without worry, without greed, without lust, that we learn to live in reconciled relationships. We get to discover how we can be agents of God's healing and reconciliation in the world. So any steps we take are in response to that vision of life that I see in the Gospels.
So each night in our series, Practicing the Way of Jesus, we're looking at experiments that you've suggested in your book. Let's look tonight at experiments in purpose. What are these kind of experiments, Mark, about? What's the aim there?
Just some of the gospel background on this. Jesus said, those who follow me will be the kind of people who instinctually care for those who are hungry, thirsty, naked, sick, or lonely. When he identified his purpose in Luke 4, he said, I've come to proclaim good news, to bind up the wounded, release the oppressed, proclaim the year of God's favor for all people. So we're invited to join him in seeking first the kingdom, to pray the prayer and live the prayer, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to look out on our world and imagine, Is this the way our Creator wants this to be, or are there ways that the Creator longs to see healing and wholeness restored to this place and people?
A lot of people with Christian faith or spectators to that faith alike are still searching for their life purpose and spend a lot of time, I think a lot of money, trying to discover it. What would you say is the key to finding purpose?
First, I would clarify that on a very fundamental level, the purpose that we're called to as followers of Jesus is to learn to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. I mean, it's very basic. So the question is, how specifically do I live into that purpose of loving God and people? I think it's helpful to just try some things, do some experimenting with attempts to be an agent of God's healing and reconciling work in the world, to ask the question, maybe a good question to ask is, if Jesus were alive with us today in bodily form, where would he be hanging out in our city? Who would he be spending time with? And that's a good clue about maybe where we should be. We know that Jesus spent time with all kinds of different people, wealthy and poor people, with untouchable people, people with leprosy, people with infectious diseases, people with bad reputation, and offered friendship and hope and affirmation to them. So to do an experiment in that way would simply be to think about that question and then say, what's a step? How can we get in to this proximity to the kinds of people that Jesus seemed to have a special heart for?
And serve others with humility.
Yeah. You know, I can tell you, give you a couple examples of ways we've tried to do that in our neighborhood. We happen to live in an urban environment where there are a lot of people who live outside. They don't have homes. They struggle with addiction or mental illness. And so we took steps in an experiment to say, how can we be neighbors to those folks who live in close proximity to us? So for a couple of months on our gathering night, we just made it our practice to bring some food and a grill and to see if we could cook with some of those neighbors underneath the freeway overpass in our neighborhood. And we didn't want it to be the kind of thing where we bring all the food and we can pat ourselves on the back for being do-gooders. You know, that I don't think Jesus invites us to that kind of engagement. Instead, we wanted to come as neighbors. And so we'd say, hey, do you guys have some, we'd like to eat together. We have a little food. Do you have some food? Could we cook together? And so we took a step to build some community, brought some board games and some instruments along, and just tried to be community together with our friends that live outside. It was a great experience for everybody involved.
Yeah. I can only begin to imagine how much it could transform neighborhoods.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we noticed is that Jesus often crossed boundaries of race, gender, and culture. So he's at the well with the Samaritan woman, intentionally travels through Samaria. And I think there's some baby steps we can take to do that. One thing that we invite people to do is, as a baby step, is if you usually shop at a fine grocery store, maybe for a week for your groceries, go to where the poorest people in your community get their groceries. Or if you are not a person of means, and if you can afford to, go to a different neighborhood into the better grocery store for the week, because you're going to run into different kinds of people. Or if you usually drive in a car to get to work, take public transportation for a day, because you're probably going to run into people that you wouldn't run into when you're using another way to get around, or walk instead of driving. Some step across that boundary, I think, can be a really powerful step and beginning to see as God sees and to care as God cares.
On Open Houseware with Mark Scandrett, part two of our series, Practicing the Way of Jesus. Mark, you talk in your book about one of the most memorable group experiments that you're part of that happened in response to a great tragedy. Take us through that.
Two of our housemates were on their way to the store when they saw some people arguing in the park, and they thought, oh, it's just what happens after people have had a few beers after the soccer game. But when they came back 10 minutes later, two people were on the ground with bullets in their bodies. They rushed to them, and one of them had been shot in the head and was already dead before the paramedics arrived. We found out later what had happened. That man who died had been a good Samaritan. He saw some children picking on an older homeless person, and he stepped in to help and said, "You need to respect your elders." They went home and they got a gun and came back and shot him. So our community began to ask, what does it mean for us to be followers of Jesus in a neighborhood where there's so much violence like this? And so we began to talk and pray about it, and we'd learned about something called the broken window principle, that violence tends to happen in neighborhoods where there are garbage on the ground, graffiti on the walls, and broken windows, and that the rates of violence can go down simply by people taking action to alleviate some of those nuisances. Yes. And this was helpful to us because a lot of us are over-educated. We're not out on the street kind of people, and so it gave us something practical to do. So we called our project Barrio Libre, Neighborhood Freedom, and we committed to, for 8 weeks every Wednesday night, we would say a quick prayer together and then go out in teams around the neighborhood to pick up garbage, neighbors, and pray for God's peace and safety to come to the neighborhood. And then we developed a poster campaign along with that. And on the poster it said, "Our neighborhood, what we do matters." It had pictures of the things that were going on in the neighborhood that we felt like are hurting the neighborhood. People defecating on the sidewalk, throwing garbage on the ground, carrying and pulling guns. And then those were crossed out, and underneath were three circles of things that we wanted to see people doing. Our goal was just to help people, our neighborhood, imagine what would it look like for this to be a neighborhood where children and other people can walk down the streets, feel safe. And so we took those posters and put them up around the park where these two men had been shot, and then we worked with local businesses to have them displayed in their storefronts. And the response was overwhelming. School teachers calling us, asking for stacks of the posters to distribute to their students. One business would take the poster and photocopy it and give it to another. A newspaper came and did a story on us, and it really helped us realize how much could be accomplished in terms of advocacy for our neighborhood in the name of Jesus by 12 or 15 people and $500 in 8 weeks. That if we were committed to taking action, what we could see happen.
What a great story. Did you see behavior and the character of the neighborhood change in that period of time or after it?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in a neighborhood like the one we live in, it's a long and slow process of change. But what we saw is that our efforts began to help rally the neighborhood and help people to see that they could advocate for the neighborhood. And it's one of many things that I think God is using to bring greater peace to our neighborhood.
So you're not suggesting that everyone needs to undertake radical action all the time to immediately go up and sell all your possessions and move to the poorest part of the world or town. There are different levels of practical action we can take. Mark, give us a few examples of experiments in purpose that we might be able to begin even this week.
Yeah, I think that the perspective I like to take is that we're being invited to take, Jesus is inviting us to take our very next step to live life in the kingdom. So we don't go to 0 to 100 on these things. We just have to be faithful to taking our next step. So I think there's a couple of practices that can really help get some momentum on that. One I like to do is just a prayer walk around a neighborhood. It could be the neighborhood you live in or one close by you, where you just walk the neighborhood with a friend and pray, God, help me to think your thoughts and feel your feelings for the people and places I see. Show me where your glory is displayed in this place. We want to see your kingdom come and your will done here and now in this place as it is in heaven. So we're training our hearts to see as God sees, to learn to care about the things that our Creator cares about. Another one that I think is really helpful is to make a commitment for a week. We tried this in our community, that for 7 days, we committed to look each person we meet in the eyes, which we found out in the process of doing that, we don't always do that.
No,
but look them
no.
in the eye, recognize them as God's beloved. Just for a moment, pause and see that they are God's beloved, and how that might transform our interactions with each other. That was a very powerful, small step to take.
Yeah, very, very small, very practical, and with such potential. Mark, can I ask you this? A lot of people have experienced and undertaken gap years, mission trips, humanitarian projects, and even experiments like this in their local communities. But then they come back from it all and return to the everyday grind. How can we mm-hmm. really apply these experiences, these experiments, beyond the event to the rhythm of our lives?
Right. Yeah, that's a good question. I think some of the examples I've given are sort of one-time or short-term experiences, but I think that those kind of risks can help a person can understand or reveal what might be a lasting contribution, a way of offering yourself to your community in a more long-term way. So our best hope is that someone has an experience that translates into a regular rhythm of life. So I'll give you an example. I have a friend, Tom, who was with us underneath the freeway overpass. He happens to work at Lucas Arts here in San Francisco. He's not the kind of person that would normally feel comfortable hanging out with homeless addicts, but he took a real risk to do that. After our 8 weeks, he was a little disappointed that we were done doing the meals, and he said, you know, I don't think that's right. I don't think we should stop doing it. And we said, well, our point was to help get you some momentum. Are there homeless people in the neighborhood where you live? Is there a way that you could serve more long term? So since that experiment 4 years ago, once a month, Tom goes to a community food distribution center once a month and helps distribute food to people who are hungry in his neighborhood. So I'm excited about that a one-time or one-event experience became a rhythm of life for him as a result.
Yeah.
And each of us needs to something like that.
Practicing the Ways of Jesus, which is Mark Scandrett's book, and we're taking you through a 5-part series on this very challenging, confronting, but practical kind of concept. Mark Scandrett, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Next week we go through experiments in security. Mark, thanks again for joining us.
You bet.
And you can learn more about this whole concept at www.jesusdojo.com.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.